WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. It's been 1 year since the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel and Israel's military response that followed. Here in the Chicago area, it's a date that's on the mind of many Jewish and Palestinian college students. In the spring, encampments and protests sprung up at schools like Northwestern, the University of Chicago, DePaul, and elsewhere. So what has the last year been like for Jewish and Palestinian students on campus? We spoke with Lisa Curion-Philip, WBEZ higher education reporter. Before getting into students' experiences, I wanted to address the latest news around the topic. Many colleges and universities have been rolling out more restrictive rules on how students can protest, so I asked her to break that down for us.
Yeah, it's kind of wild to see these new rules take place at so many different colleges across the region. One professor I talked to just put it this way. She said, these schools are rolling out rules and say, you can have free speech as long as you run it by us in exactly this way. So one of the examples I've heard is that Loyola, for example, is requiring that demonstrations happen between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., and they have to take place at a free speech zone. And it's the West Quad of campus that students complain doesn't really have a lot of visibility in terms of like foot traffic and such. UIC had put in place similar time and place restrictions. It has to happen between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. You have to reserve a space 48 hours in advance. So a lot of advocates for free speech are definitely alarmed by these developments, saying like, hey, universities, especially American universities, there's this spirit of free speech and inquiry. And if we're kind of putting all of these, guidelines on how free speech takes place, is that really conducive to an environment for free speech?
Well, why do you think universities are moving in this direction in the first place?
A lot of them are saying that it is in the interest of making campuses safe for everybody. We saw these encampments take place in the spring, which from my experience, they seem to be pretty safe overall. Like, you know, a lot of the students who took place said like, hey, these are some of the most amazing educational opportunities we've had. We've had these students are from very different groups and campus are coming together for the first time to talk about this huge thing that's happening abroad that students locally are really feeling. But then on the other hand, you have people saying, hey, the claims that these students are making in terms of their criticism of Israel and their demands that the U.S. stop arming Israel are threatening to Israel's existence and to Jewish students who strongly identify with Israel. Mm-hmm. So there are these, you know, varying kind of agendas. But then also, a lot of people are saying their universities are just trying to silence pro-Palestinian speech. And a lot of scholars recently, you know, have brought up this idea of the Palestine exception, that free speech is okay, but not if it's in support of Palestine. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of students and faculty who have spoke up in recent months or over the past year about what's happening feel that the only reason universities are acting up in this way, it is a much more extreme reaction than we've seen to movements like the Black Lives Matter movement on campus. So I think there is that idea of kind of floating out there of the Palestine exception.
Leading up to today, which is 1 year since October 7th, you spoke with Jewish students and you've been covering walkouts and rallies in support of Palestinians. So when you talk with Jewish students at Northwestern, how are they feeling, Lisa? What's on their minds?
There's a lot of grief, I would say, a lot of pain, not just about the death that happened in Israel of, 1,200 people on October 7th last year, but also all of the death and destruction that has taken place over the past year. And it's also for some students who, grew up with this idea of having Israel as a birthright nation. There's a lot of internal conflict there of like, I have family there or I've taken trips there. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I'm seeing the military there take this ongoing onslaught of Gaza and, the deaths of more than 41,000 Palestinians there. And it's hard to reconcile that with, their support of Israel. I talked to senior at Northwestern, Adam Jaffe, who's been going to the campus group Hillel at Northwestern, for example, since he was a freshman. And he's always seen it as this home for him on campus. But he has these very deeply opposing beliefs of, I believe in Israel's right to exist, but I also see that there is vast injustice to the Palestinian people. And, he really feels that conflict deeply.
Yeah, I mean, what you just described really is reminiscent of a piece of your article that's up online right now at WBEZ.org. There's a great line here where you write, the deaths of more than 1,200 Israelis, more than 40,000 Palestinians, and the escalation of the conflict in recent days have caused pain, grief, and confusion, and made providing a community for all Jewish students all the more necessary, but also far more difficult. Sounds like the sentiments you were describing that Adam was telling you about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think students are grasping for safe places to kind of talk about what they're feeling and what they're seeing. And so much of this conflict is shown now on social media, and students are kind of confronted with this every day. And at the same time, it's hard to find spaces where you feel safe to really interrogate these often very conflicting emotions and feelings and beliefs. And I think Jewish students are feeling that.
Now, you talked with a student named Dan Murrieta who did not feel at ease at Hillel. What's his story?
Yeah, so Dan, when he was starting off at Northwestern, he's a sophomore now, he is a Jewish student, and I think he's had critical views of Israel for some time because of their treatment of Palestinians, but he was looking for a Jewish home on campus, and he tried to go to Hillel, which kind of markets itself as a space for all Jewish students, no matter their sort of political stance or where they are in terms of orthodoxy, where they all kinds of Jewish students are welcome on campus. But their official stance is that they support Zionism and they support Israel. And so that makes students like Dan maybe not feel so at ease there. He tried to go to Hillel once or twice, and he said that he got into, arguments with students where just he had groups of students attacking him and calling him crazy for his ideas. And so he was, he felt discouraged from ever going back, and he still wanted that community though. He said, I have all of these friends who have very similar political stances to me, or they're very politically aligned with me, but they're not Jewish. I have just one Jewish student who sort of feels that way. And so that really motivated him and a few other students on campus who kind of had similar experiences to start a chapter on Northwestern's campus of Jewish Voice for Peace, which is an anti-Zionist organization, but it's a bunch of Jewish students who support the Palestinian cause and have been really involved in demonstrations calling for Northwestern to divest. And through that kind of community making, Marietta has really, he said, he had a renewed sense of connection to his Jewish identity, and but also has a new community for himself on campus.
Lisa, let's turn now to the experience of Palestinian students on college campuses here in the Chicago area and some of the things that you've been hearing from them. Now, I know that you covered a recent U Chicago teach-in with students, faculty, and community members. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, this was just on Friday, and two faculty members who have been very involved with Faculty for Justice in Palestine at U Chicago talked about some of the historic context of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And a couple of students also spoke and shared poetry. And it was interesting because U Chicago kind of just rolled out these new guidelines for free speech. And I think this group was kind of testing some of the boundaries there. They had amplified sound but it was just like, it was kind of the faculty members were calling for students and faculty to continue their involvement in demonstrations. I think they're, you know, saying like classes back in session. Despite these new rules, we're going to continue at this. I think there's a little bit of a sense of hopelessness because there were such strong movements on campus this past spring, and yet the university hasn't really changed the way it's approaching the demonstrations and pro-Palestinian like student protesters. And then, you know, on top of that, the conflict is continuing and even escalating at this point.
Yeah.
So, there's just a lot of despair and hopelessness among students that I was sensing.
So as we mentioned, we saw encampments spring up last year on campuses in support of Palestinians. Many of the student protesters were calling for a ceasefire, others for boycotts, divestment, or sanctions against Israel, as you've mentioned. I mean, how are Palestinian students feeling about some of these rules then that we talked about that make it now harder to protest?
I think some of them are feeling very targeted or betrayed by their campuses. I know, for example, at DePaul University, they sanctioned their Students for Justice in Palestine chapter so that they're not able to reserve space for protests or really carry out their mission. And they're feeling like... I think they're still finding other ways to get out there and make their voices heard, but there's a sense of like, almost like erasure. Like, you know, my family is going through this awful, awful violence and destruction in their homes, in their homeland. And now, you know, our university won't really acknowledge what we're going through. And now they're making it harder for us to try to get them to acknowledge what we're going through. Mm.
So how are Palestinian students in our area marking today, October 7th?
There are a lot of walkouts planned. There's one at UIC this afternoon. I know DePaul is also hosting one with Western. I think students are going to gather and still make their voices heard. Whether or not these are sanctioned events, I'm not sure. So we'll see how administrators respond. But they're definitely still planning events and still planning to mark this day and the deaths we've seen over the past year.
Well, what we had long called the war in Gaza has ballooned into a regional war. We've seen military action and attacks in the West Bank and Lebanon. Last week, Iran fired missiles on Israel. What is on people's minds as what started last October 7th just begins to engulf more of the Middle East, Lisa?
Yeah, I think it just goes back to that kind of hopelessness and despair. And at the same time, the sense that we can't let up. We student protesters feel like they still need to get out there and get their administrators to pay attention. You know, one thing I didn't mention about when I was talking about how universities are responding to these protests is that there's this sense that they have a lot of financial stake in the military conflict, in the sense that a lot of these universities have millions of dollars invested in military companies that are supplying arms to Israel. And students, you know, maybe they feel like they can't stop what is happening overseas, but they do feel like they can maybe get their administrations to pay attention and stop being financially involved in the conflict.
We'll leave it there. That's WBEZ higher education reporter Lisa Curion-Phillips. She's been sharing what is on the minds of Jewish and Palestinian college students in our area as the world marks October 7th, and how student protesters feel about the new, more restrictive rules around protest that many schools have put in place this year. Thank you, Lisa.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Dan Tucker and edited by Meha Ahmed. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset pairs nuance and breaking news. If this sounds like what you're looking for, make sure to check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.